Recently, Supreme Master Qinghai graciously allowed our association members to gather for an international seminar. It was a joyous occasion as Master and disciples reunited to meditate and pray for peace. During her visit to meet with our association members, Supreme Master Qinghai also spoke of the teachings of past masters and answered the spiritual questions of fellow initiates. Throughout the ages, compassionate, enlightened masters have urged people to surrender to the greater universal power by seeking the divine within, from which all other goodness and happiness follow. This message was echoed again in Supreme Master Qinghai's discussion with the theme, A Tale of Enlightenment, with our association members during the international gathering on January 31st, 2009.
Now, they have found the fountain of life. They flew on the magical staff together. See, they arrived instantly with the magical staff. And they drank the water. And then they recited in some magic mantra. To see who needs their service the most at the time, who is the most in trouble, who is the most in need of their help. So in the mirror they look. They saw a man who was dying. He lived very far away from where they are. But yeah, no problem, they have magic staff, right? They just mounted on the magical staff and then in an instant, just an instant, they immediately arrive at the house of the needy man. The man opened the door, but it's not the sick man. Yeah? And the four Muslim dervish said to his doorkeeper, "We are magical, famous healers. Your master of the house is sick, we understand. So we want to come in and cure him." Of course, the master of the house heard that. So he invited them in. Oh, but as soon as this man saw the four dervishes, his sickness became worse, like he has been hit by a stroke or a seizure. Ooh. So immediately, he ordered his servant to throw them out. Who wouldn't? Huh? Would you? Somebody come and say, "Oh, he come to heal you," and when you saw them, you become worse. Your illness become aggravated. Wouldn't you throw them out?
Yes.
While they're being kicked out, the servant explained to the four monks that, you know, the patient, the master of the house, he doesn't like Muslim. Yeah. He hate the dervishes. So now they came out, they put the hood on their head. Yeah. So they changed themselves into some different appearance, four completely different healers, so that the patient would feel more at ease and safe and accept their presence. Yeah. So of course when they come in different appearances, and four different persons altogether have nothing to do with the previous four Muslims that had been kicked out. And the man accepted them, trusted them, because they appear in some form that the patient would trust. You know, maybe the same religious order, yes, maybe same social status, yes, same clothing, or perhaps same hairdo, or even same high heels, who knows? Or same umbrella. All right, so the master of the house, namely the patient, accepted them, trusted them because they look like what he expected and look like the one that he is familiar with or would trust. Yeah, look like trustworthy people. So he took the medicine from them. And as soon as he took something from this magical cup, he felt ever so better. Never felt so good in his life. Now, because this master of the house, you know, the patient, he's a very rich man. After he was healed, he rewarded them with a beautiful house so that they can settle down. So they continue to stay in this house, yes, and every day they go out to different places and healing people, and helping people, whoever is in need, and whoever accepts them. And so in this manner they are serving mankind in different places, in different ways. One day, three of the dervishes went out, yes, and only the one with the magic cup stays at home. And then suddenly the soldiers came to their house and arrested him, the one with the cup. He was very afraid, yes, to know what happened, but it turned out that it was nothing to worry about because the king of that country had heard of their magical power. So he wants to take this man to the court in order to heal his daughter. Yes, his daughter is sick, that's all. Because she has a very strange illness that no other doctors can heal her. Now, he offered her some normal medicine that she has already been taking, but he put it in the magical cup. It didn't work because he forgot to look into the magic mirror. Maybe he didn't change himself to suit the taste of the princess. Maybe he looked too ugly. Yeah, and the princess feel worse. Maybe the princess was in love with some handsome guy. And this man looked like the worst of all the guys that she have met. Make her sickness worse, hopeless. Oh, terrible. Because the medicine did not work. Even though he put it in the magic cup, the king ordered him to be nailed on the wall. Oh. That's terrible. If cannot cure, why nail people? Huh? What for? Just throw him out, that's it, right? Well, it happened, you know, even sometimes the most famous doctor cannot always cure a person when that disease is incurable, right? It happens, yes. So I don't know why this king is so fanatic and bad. Anything at all, just kill people. Anything at all, nail people. Yeah? Terrible. The dervish monk, of course, tried to explain to the king that maybe he has lacked some time and some consultation and some special ingredients. So please let him have a little bit more time so that he can come back and cure the princess. But the king, you know, hot temper, very dictative. He doesn't believe it, and thinking that the dervish tried to buy time so that he can escape. Oh dear. So, now, he is on the verge of being executed. Yes. And the other three monks came home, and they didn't see him anywhere. So immediately they look into the magic mirror to see where their friend is. And they found him. They know that he's going to die soon. So immediately they rode on the magical staff, go there and rescue their friend. But the king's daughter cannot be cured. They cannot save her because it's too late. Because they cannot find the magical cup anymore. Even that. And then when they look into the mirror, they saw that the king has ordered the cup to be thrown into the ocean, very deep ocean. Now, how can you find a cup in an ocean? So deep. I don't know if the magical staff can bring them, you know, through such a amount of water like that, you know? Maybe they go... I cannot find the cup. Maybe go down and stay there, who knows? But let's see what's going on. The deepest ocean in the world is where the cup is. Yeah, that's where the king ordered to be thrown into. What kind of king is this? Huh? Must be the king of devil, huh? King of Maya. You know, these stories are always symbolic. The magic cup is what? Enlightenment, no? Yeah. And the deepest ocean is what? All of our trouble, sorrow, obstruction, yes, that we can hardly get out, even though we know where it is, we couldn't find. Yes. So, even though they have a magic staff and a magic hood and magic mirror, it took them 1,000 years to recover the cup. No wonder, huh? Probably they have to pump all the ocean water out. Or at least not so deep, even with magical stuff. Go down in such a speed. Even then, if you go in the water, you go, right? It's so deep like that, you know? It's not like you swim on the surface even. If it's on the surface, you can swim. However long it takes you, you can float, you can swim, and you're okay. But if you have to dive into deep ocean like that, and the old time they don't have any instrument like now, huh? I'm sure they gluk 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 all the way down. Not to talk about gluk 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 all the way up as well. You know, when somebody throws something in the ocean, it doesn't just stay like that. It may be easy for you to find, no? Probably by the weight of it, it will sink into the depth of the mud or the sand, or maybe it's stuck in some cavern in the ocean, you know, between the corals and between the octopus tentacles or whatever, you know, or maybe the octopus was holding it. Yeah, and it's very difficult to get it from the octopus. Because they, you know, they just sucked into the cup. No, you know that. Okay. Well, I just imagine all kind of thing could happen. In the deepest depth of the ocean, everything could happen, right? Yeah. So, see that? Huh? Thousands of years. After they had the bad experience with the princess, they made it a practice to do things more secretly. Whatever they do, you know, they will make it look very logical, like a simple medical method or something like that. Logical, explicable way. Like if they use a cup, they would probably put some, you know, aspirin or something in it and say, you see this medicine? Yeah, it's been known to cure so and so. A sickness, yeah, including headache. So if you take this, after a few hours, you will be better. Yeah. So everybody believe, oh, of course the medicine is good, good, good. Yeah? Do you understand the story?
Yes.
Understood. Good boy, good girl. Now, you see, this is just a parable, you know? Like Jesus often told stories to make example, to make a symbol of the point that he wanted to drive home. The cup is like the enlightenment, yes? Difficult to find, yes. Although you know where it is, it's not like you don't know, and it's obvious, yeah? But it's difficult to find where there are obstruction. The social preconceived idea about what enlightenment should be, established orders, maybe of religious belief, maybe of tradition, maybe of anything. Isn't that a pity? What is so obvious to us, we can see it with a magical mirror, for many people, is something so mysterious, so inaccessible, so impossible. There's nothing really. It's yours. You have it. All you do is just get in touch with it. Then you have everything else. And then all your worry, your anxiety, yes, your trouble will disappear. Trouble, anxieties, worries, they are also diseases, yes? And sometimes, because of worry, anxieties, it manifested into the physical body, it become a real, you know, physical disease. It begins first in the mind, yeah? Somewhere in our thought, in our pattern of thinking. They call it stress sometimes. I'm so stressed out, I'm so stressed out. I freak out. Something like that. Who is it that freak out? It's not the body, it's the mind, isn't it? Yeah? You worry so much. Or you're so distressed that you say, I freak out. But who is the I that freak out? Eh? Because if it is the body, then when the dead man laying there, he still has the same body. He has the same body, but you can stay there and curse him for thousands of years. He would never move. He would never freak out. He would never stress out. That's what it is. So it is the mind that stress itself out, or it freaks itself out. So whatever it is, it's all from the thinking first, right? Yes. It's very difficult to control that, even though we understand that. Ooh, I have nothing to do with my body. Okay, you can continue worry. I go eat, I go drink, I go meditate. Difficult, huh? Difficult to say, oh, I don't care about you. I just go meditate. I just go pray. I just go listen to music. I just go dancing. Very difficult, isn't it? Yes, difficult. Okay, sometimes people think, okay, I go dancing and I forget the problem. They might forget for a few moments, few hours, and when they come back, the problem is still there, right? Again. And the same. Nothing changed.
We thank you for your gentle presence for today's Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, coming up next, right after Noteworthy News. May all your noble dreams come true.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BND